Good morning. Good morning, Rabotai. See where I took that? Ripped that out there right there. That's amazing. Okay. Welcome to Breakfast in the Class. Breakfast in the Class today is dedicated in loving memory of Dennis Dayan. Alav HaShalom L'Nishmat. Shilomo Ben Moshe Mazal Dayan. Alav HaShalom, sponsored by his son Murray Dayan. Ruach HaLanet Nechem Beganen. Azak Baruch Murray. Rechut Yamin V'Shanim. Also dedicated in loving memory of Avi Uziel. Alav HaShalom L'Nishmat. Avraham Ben Penina. For his fourth askara by his family. Hazaku Baruch. Also in loving memory of Ricky Fenster, Leonishmat, Razel Cyril Bat, Michal Leib, sponsored by our son, Dr. Daniel Fenster. Ruach Lanati Nichena Began Eden. And Breakfast of the Class also dedicated in loving memory of Ms. Lily Safra, Leonishmat, Leah Batchana. Her philanthropy has reached so many throughout the entire world. And the week of Kobru and Breakfast of the Class is sponsored by David E. Ash in honor of you. And your substantial capacity of good today and every day, where you can find merch online to help sponsor all the things that we do here at capacityforgood.com. Hazaku Baruch. New merch just dropped today. Okay. Rabotai. Okay. Let us begin. There's many different beautiful lessons in this week's parasha, but in one way, one of the powerful lessons that we learn about in this week's parasha is the lesson of legacy. Please do not answer amen if you're listening to this recording and it is not live. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech haolam she'hakol nehyeh baro. Yaakov Avinu, in the final moments of his life, he calls Yosef down to his bedside. And he asks Yosef for a request. Ve'asita imadi chesed ve'emet al natik bereni v'mitzrayim. Please, don't bury me here. Don't bury me here. Mark, what you quoted is not the beginning of the parasha. That's the end of the parasha. Because Yosef says, take my bones up with you, don't leave the bones here. Because Yosef passes away in the end of the parasha. In the beginning of the parasha, it's Yaakov Avinu, his bones are not there. They bury him in Israel. Okay? But he asks his son for this special favor. Please, ve'asita imadi chesed ve'emet. I want you to do for me a chesed ve'emet, a kindness and truth. Our rabbis tell us, al nativ kereni mitzrayim, please don't bury me here in Egypt. There's multiple reasons why Yaakov was hell-bent, like they say, on not being buried in Egypt. One reason was because Yaakov Avinu understood that when he first came down to Egypt, so there was supposed to be 7 years of famine. But as soon as Yaakov Avinu came down, the waters of the Nile River, which is what irrigated the fields in Egypt, they rose to meet him. So the people treated Yaakov, in pagan Egypt, they treated him like a god. Yaakov knew that if they buried him in Egypt, he would be worshipped like one of their gods, a god of sustenance, a god of irrigation. So therefore he said, please don't bury me here. Bury me in Israel so that that shouldn't happen. It shouldn't be on my plate that people are bowing to me instead of to God. That's one reason. The second reason our rabbis tell us is that in the time of Mashiach, when a person is buried in America or in wherever they're buried, their body needs to travel, so to speak, to take this journey, whatever it means, towards Eretz Israel, to the time, to the coming of Mashiach. Okay, so at that point, there's a tremendous pain, there's a suffering that the body undergoes, so therefore it's ideal to be buried in Israel. That's why till today we take people to be buried in Israel. That's one of the reasons why people make that choice. But the words that Yaakov Avinu uses are very interesting. Ve'asita imadi, and you will do with me chesed ve'emet, kindness and truth. Now those words over here called chesed ve'emet, which mean kindness and truth, also are used often in this context as chesed shel emet, a kindness of truth. You see, if I rub your back, what happens? You rub mine. I help you out this time, you help me out next time. Even if that's not my intention in the moment, you know something? I did something nice for you. Next time you have a big opportunity comes your way, you know you could call any broker, any rabbi, any whatever, to get the win. You know, if someone wants to give away $5 million to a tzedakah foundation, I helped you out last time as a rabbi. You're going to say, Rabbi, listen, there's a guy who wants to donate $5 million. You were so nice to me at the funeral. You were so nice. You were my family. I've told him I'm going to put him in touch with you. Even if that's not why you did it, it doesn't make a difference. I rub your back, you rub mine. So every chesed, every kindness, has an element within it which is not true. It's sheker, it's a lie. Because in the back of your mind, conscious or subconscious, you know that this might come back to you. My friends, when it comes to burying someone, at that point, that chesed, emet, nothing he can do for you. He's not reaching out from the great beyond, Yani, to help you out. Now, not only that, what kind of chesed is the greatest chesed a person could do? Not even when you help or bury someone that has a family, because you know what? Maybe the family will still do something nice for you, right? Maybe the family, maybe the person you got a job will get you a job. Maybe the person you set up their daughter to marry someone, they'll think of someone for your kids. There's, you know, what goes around comes around. Where do we find the ultimate chesed shel emet, kindness of truth? The halakha tells us by a met mitzvah. What's a met mitzvah? What is a dead person who's a mitzvah? What does that mean?
Unknown.
Oh, so in France they have the grave of the unknown soldier. But in Judaism it doesn't have to be a soldier for us to pay attention to him. In fact, everybody, every single Jewish body deserves and merits and is incumbent upon the community to make sure that that person receives a proper halachic Jewish burial. My friends, I have to talk about this today. It is very important. Today, over 50% of Jewish people do not receive a halachic burial. There are 30,000 Jewish people that die in this country a year. 50% today are now going through cremation, that are being burned in an oven until they are ash, until there's nothing left, until there's not even a shred of DNA of that person left in the ashes that they leave behind. To us, that is a terrible, terrible thing. To someone that believes that death is final, that there's no afterlife, that there's no return, so to speak, okay, maybe you think, you know what, you're saving money. Maybe you think this is more whatever, ecologically friendly, you know, all right. But for a Jewish person, it's a crime of epic proportions. The greatest mitzvah is the mitzvah, the chesed shel emet, that if you find a random body on the side of the road, that you bury that person. You know how strict the laws of met mitzvah are? A kohen gadol is not allowed to become tameh to anybody, like a regular kohen. You know who else he's not allowed to become tameh for? Who else he's not allowed to bury? He's not allowed to touch in death. Even members of his own family, the people closest to him in the world, the Kohen Gadol, he's the high priest. He needs to maintain the highest levels of Kiddushah, of holiness. He's not allowed to interact with the dead body of the closest members of his family in this world. And yet, if the Kohen Gadol is taking a stroll and he sees a body on the side of the road that no one's going to bury, the halakha is that he must bury that body. It doesn't matter if he's wearing all the big adim of the Kohen Gadol. He himself is osek in met mitzvah. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky recently said that each and every Jew that potentially will go and be cremated has a halakha today of a met mitzvah. Which means if the Kohen Gadol was alive today, he'd be attending a heck of a lot of funerals. What can we do about it? We have to be talking to people about it. You have to let people know. Most people, they don't know. They don't understand. They don't realize why there's a Jewish perspective on it at all. They don't understand. And ignorance, aside from being in common terminology, bliss. The world feels that ignorance is bliss. Judaism feels exactly the opposite. We are a people of the book. Right? We believe that wisdom is blessed, not that ignorance is bliss. My friends, it is very important to understand that this mitzvah is a chesed shel emet. So some scenarios, we can chip in some money and help someone get a plot who couldn't afford it. Some scenarios, we can actually help and go to the cemetery and be part of a minyan. If you ever go to a funeral and the people are filling in the kever with the shovel, that's a big mitzvah to go and do your part to also cover the person, to bring them to kivurah. It's a tremendous mitzvah, mitzvah that the person can never pay you back. So Yaakov Avinu says to his son, Imna matzati chen be'enecha, if I have found favor in your eyes, sim nayadecha tachat yerechi, place your hand below my yerech, below my hip. Right? Why? Because you know how you swear in court on a Bible? So the law is that you make a shivu'ah whenever you swear in Judaism, you swear on an object of holiness, something that a mitzvah was done with. So you might have a Torah with you, you could put your hand on the Torah. I mean, you're not supposed to swear, but when you would put your hand on the Torah. Yaakov Avinu doesn't have a Torah handy in his sickbed, so what does he tell him to put his hand? Tell him to put his hand next to his brit milah. Place your hand by my waist, he says to his son, and swear to me, v'asita imadi chesed ve'emet, swear to me that you'll take my body and bury me in Eretz Israel. My friends, I want to share with you something that is so powerful about this conversation that they were having. You know, our rabbis tell us that when a person leaves a son behind them, a child behind them that is like them, they never truly pass from this world. They live forever. Because literally, the person's midot, their character traits, their priorities, their dreams, they live on in the child. This child is doing what their father, what their mother would have done, and that brings that parent another element of influence, of life, of action in this world. So my friends, whenever a person has a son, it's as if the person never passes away, so long as they're doing the job that their parent would have done. And the person has to think to themselves, what did my parents do that I should carry on their ways to keep their legacy and their selves, their names, their souls alive for the maximum amount of time, even forever? So the Gemara says as follows, unbelievable. When David was passing away, David is lying with his forefathers. This king heard that David was lying with his forefathers. He met Yoav, and Yoav had died. So he hears that David passed away. It says he was lying with his forefathers, and Yoav died. It differentiates. It says that David is lying down with his forefathers, and Yoav is dead. And the Gemara explains that was because David HaMelech had left behind him King Solomon, who was following in his footsteps. So David was taking a nap. On the other hand, Yoav, he did not leave a son that followed in his ways. So Yoav passed away. Listen carefully, says the Chatam Sofer, something unbelievable. Yaakov Avinu, what made Yaakov Avinu? What was his character trait that would have needed to be carried on by his child in order for Yaakov Avinu to stay alive, to have a legacy, to not pass from this world? Vayikrivu Yimei Yisrael Lamut. And the days of, translate, Yisrael came to die. Yaakov sees, it's only a matter of days, a matter of minutes, however long it's going to be. But it doesn't call him Yaakov here. What does it call him? What made Yaakov great? The fact that he fought with the angel. The fact that throughout his life, he constantly was dealing with challenges that came his way. And always, always overcoming. Not overcoming because he won, but overcoming because he never stopped fighting. He never stopped pushing. Our job in this life is not to win, it's to never give up the fight. Yaakov looks around and he sees, V'yikrevu Yimei Yisrael Lamut. Why? Because he knows the struggle that he had. But he's looking at his primary son, Yosef. And what's Yosef's life like? He's wearing a Revid Zahav, gold headplate. He's paraded around, fanning him with leaves, feeding him grapes, in his mouth. He's got horses and buggies taking him everywhere. He's ruling the coop. He's got it easy. Yisrael looks at his son, Yosef, and he says, Yosef, I'm nervous. I feel like Yisrael, the fighter, is going to die because his primary son is not living a life of challenge, not living a life of force. Now it was, no question, Yosef had been there. He had a difficult story, but now he was coasting. We don't need to look back at our deeds from yesterday. We need to ask ourselves, not what have I accomplished, but because of what I have accomplished, what can I still accomplish? So he looks at his son Yosef and he thinks, is this it for me? Listen to this, and this is unbelievable. You're not suffering, you're not struggling, you're not pushing. You're relaxed, you're coasting. The Zohar describes a person who goes through Yisurim, challenges, difficulties, as a Mara diyarchin, a master Yarchin Yerech of the thigh. He's a master of the thigh. Why? Because when a person is standing up, so to speak, right? And they're hit with challenge after challenge after challenge, what happens? The person can't stand. That's what David HaMelech says. Lo ma'adu karsulai. You know, with all that I went through, you know, my legs didn't falter. You know, my calves, they held me up. I'm still standing. You might remember that song. I'm still standing. Yeah. Right? So you might find yourself in a situation where a person is, you know, struggling to stand up. So what's a Ba'al Yisurin called? Person who goes through difficulty? Says the Chatam Sofer, is called in the Zohar Mara Diyarchin, a person, a man, a master of the thigh, of standing, so to speak. Says the Zohar, but instead of having Yisurin, instead of having challenges, a person could have either challenges, but there's an alternative to having challenges. You know what the alternative to having challenges is, he says, in this world? Giving tzedakah, giving charity. Helping people, doing chesed. What's that called? A mara diyadin. A master of his hands. Of what he's capable of giving. We give with a giving hand, correct? Al tikpotz et yadecha. Don't hold back your hand. Don't clench your fist, but open your hand and give. So a person could be a master of a thigh and suffer. That could be one challenge that helps him grow. The other challenge that helps him grow, which he could have instead of suffering, is a maradi yadin, a master of his hands. According to this Zohar, that a person doesn't need to suffer. Instead, they can be giving tzedakah. That's what we mean when we say tzedakah, tatzil mimavet. Tzedakah saves a person from death. If that's the case, let's read the pasuk again with these eyes that the Chatam Sofer just gave us. Yaakov Avinu says, my days are passing. I see myself dying because you're living on easy street. The Yisrael in me is not going to... V'yikra li b'noi Yosef, he calls his son Yosef, who he didn't see living his legacy. V'yomer lo, and he says to him, imna matzati chen be'enecha. Please, I beg you, if I find favor in your eyes, simna yadecha tachat yerechi. Instead of my hip, instead of my thigh, that is the story of Yisurin, of difficulty in this world that I lived with. Where did the angel hit Yaakov? In the thigh, bekath yerach, v'chath yerach. That was Yaakov's battle throughout his life. He dealt with one problem after another problem after another problem. For some people, that's their ticket to greatness. But Yaakov sees that his son is not doing that. So he says, simna yadecha tachat yerechi. Instead of my yerech, instead of my thigh, give me your hand. Place your hand, tachat, instead of. It could mean below, like we translate it. I'm so fair, genius. Switch your thigh, your hip, for your hand. You're a person who does great kindness. You sustain all the people. You do all these great things for your children. But all of that, it could come back to you. So please, I'm asking you, for the sake of my legacy, Ve'asita imadi chesed ve'emet. Do with me a kindness which is true, because after I'm gone, there's nothing I could give you anymore. Do with me the truest kindness. My friends, you see from here a powerful idea. The idea that tzedakah, that charity can help a person escape many of the yisurim that was supposed, the difficulties that were supposed to land in their portion. If a person understands this, then they realize that they got to be out of their minds to invite difficulty into their life when there's a ticket out. You know, there's an idea called pay to play, right? There's also an idea called pay to slay, right? Pay to play means you give money. People used to give money to politicians, and then the politician would throw them the contracts, the city contract. It was pay to play. Then they have pay to slay, Bar Minan. You have in Israel, where Hamas and Fatah, all these people talking about the PA, about how peaceful they are. And then when someone kills, blows up a bus, shoots someone, they pay the family every month. They give them a stipend, a salary, for having done something that they claim that they're against. That's called pay for slay. My friends, our Torah is telling us that there's also pay for stay. Tzedakah tatzil mimavet. You want to hang around here? Yeah, there's a way. And that is by giving charity. Charity is most commonly understood as sharing the wealth that we have. But the wealth that we have is not only money. It might be giving someone a great idea that will help them with their business. It might be putting in a few minutes of phone calls to help them find someone to get married to. It might be connecting them with someone or an organization that helps people who are trying to have children have children. It might be any of the kindnesses that a person could have. It might be showing someone what page you are on in the prayer service, so the person knows where you are. It might be saying Kaddish with someone who struggles to say Kaddish. It might be saying Kaddish with them and saying it a little bit slower so they could say it with you without feeling rushed through it. That's a kindness. Our world, our life is rife with opportunity to do kindness. And kindness, my friends, although it helps everybody else, it also helps us tremendously, because you could swap the mara di yarchin, the master of thigh, to the master of hand. Which would you rather? I know which one I would rather. I want to finally end where you see the Chatam Sofer says in the end of the parasha, the brothers come to Yosef and they see that Yosef's kindness with them, maybe it's going to end now. Maybe now he's going to take revenge for what they did to him. And the brothers said, Vayir'u, and they saw, Achei Yosef kimet aviyem, they saw that their father died. And they came to Yosef, and Yosef said to them, Ve'ata al tirau, don't be afraid. Anochi achalkel etchem ve'etapechem. I'm going to carry on supporting you, being kind with you. Don't worry. Dad's spirit is still strong. It's still strong within me. My friends, as I said, I'd like to end with this concept. So, there are many different ways a person can express kindness. One way is helping people be buried, where we started off, this incredible kindness. But there's many other forms of kindness, of emet, where it's never going to come back to you. Where you help someone anonymously. There's no way for that person to ever pay you back. And I've had the pleasure and the privilege as a rabbi here in this community of having people illustrate that act of chesed, of kindness. To get a phone call and to say, if there's someone that you know who is a widow, who needs money to shop for food every week, please put them in touch with me. I'm going to set them up. We'll create them an account in Tomer's. Unbelievable. Nobody knows. Nobody knows that the woman is shopping for free. Nobody knows who the person is that gave the money. Nobody knows. Chesed shel emet. Nobody knows that someone sponsored Torah learning. Nobody knows. Nobody knows that someone paid for a student to become a rabbi in yeshiva. So now this rabbi is providing all this support, pastoral support, Torah support to the community. Nobody knows. Every once in a while, I get one of these phone calls. It's an honor to be able to direct that charity to an almana, to a talmid chacham, to a bet knesset, to a learning program. And that's chesed shel emet. When a person has something coming their way, or they don't want something coming their way. What a beautiful way of dealing with it, by extending themselves in tzedakah, financial or otherwise. I had someone recently approach me. She's a PT, she's a physical therapist. And she said, if there's anyone in the community that can't pay for extra physical therapy living here in the city, let me know. I have some extra hours. I'm going to donate. She's donating her actual parnasah. Maybe she can't pay someone else to do that. She doesn't have that money. But she's offering to do this work with her hands to be able to help a child, to be able to help a person become rehabilitated. What can you give? A person has to ask themselves, what can I give? What can I give? What can I donate to the world? How can I make the world a richer, a more beautiful place? May Hashem bless us that we should be zochet to carry on the traits of our parents, of our forefathers. May Hashem bless us that we should swap every thigh for a hand, every opportunity for challenge that comes our life with tzedakah. And I think the reason is because we're taking on that challenge when we give tzedakah. So let's say chas v'shalom, I was supposed to have some sickness, but I helped someone who has that sickness. So in my ledger, it says that this person dealt with bar minan, an aneurysm. That this person dealt with a coma. That this person dealt with cancer. It says that in the book, right? If you were supposed to become poor, but you are helping people who are poor, you tasted that poverty. You feel terrible for the person. You have felt the pain of poverty. And you didn't have to suffer with it in your own life. You suffered it in it by proxy. I learned from this that not only does a person need to give, but along with giving, they also need to care. Because if they didn't care, how did they bring that into their life? How could it absolve them of what they're supposed to be going through? May Hashem bless us to have a life full of blessing, a life full of giving, and a life where we can make our parents, our grandparents up in heaven proud of everything that we're doing, along with our people and along with our God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Adonai Le'olam.